Do you want to make a change in your health and wellness and create a transformation? Remember, wellness is an inner job. Listen to the podcast From Outer Wellness to Inner Wellness with Dr. Naz Parsian and let's make the change happen. In today's world, we are increasingly experiencing stress, burnout, feeling overwhelmed, feeling frustrated. And no matter where we are, where we live, if you live in an advanced country or in, you know, third world country, if you live in poor situation or, you know, in rich situation, if you are leader or stress is going to be absolutely skyrocketing every day. And we need to do something about it because chronic stress could be a cause for so many other conditions, including mental and physical and all, you know, health issues. And we do have a lot of information available. However, that information at times might get a little bit confusing because it's too much. So today we're going actually to discuss with a health professional, Hayley Schiller. She's a social worker, and I really appreciate when health professionals just going beyond the conventional approaches and presenting some more available and productive ways to the world and to people to manage their health and wellness and manage their lives, basically. So if you feel that stress management, and I think, you know, I believe that everyone feels that the stress management is not easy, especially in the current world. So if you are one of them that, you know, I feel that you definitely are, this episode is for you. Because we're going actually to touch on some simple steps and talk about some very easy, simple aspects that can help us manage or heal our chronic stress. So definitely Hayley Schiller has some points for you. So be with me.
Hello, wellness seeker, inner wellness seeker, actually. I'm all into inner wellness. So we're going actually to discuss about a very common and popular topic today, especially in the last 2 years. I think every day we are struggling somehow with stress. And in the last 2 years, it's you know, skyrocketing, and a lot of people also experiencing burnout. In my early episodes on my podcast, I discussed a lot about the stress, and people who know me or they are my audience, they know that I'm very much focusing on stress healing because I certainly believe, you know, as a health professional, being in the area for 25 years, that the stress is a cause. Yeah, I just randomly connected, I think, in Facebook with an amazing professional who is working with stress and burnout and stress management. Hayley is a social worker and founder of Reaching Equilibrium LLC. Reaching Equilibrium is a stress management program which provides resources and education on avoiding burnout and navigating life balance. Hayley recognizes life is not one size fits all, definitely, and strives to educate the public on the vast amount of wellness resources that exist. Welcome to the show, Hayley.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for just connecting. And now we are here, yeah, talking together about stress, yeah. Can you just, you know, introduce yourself a little bit, you know, just your, I know your background is social worker, but just a little bit more details about, you know, where you are coming from. And yeah, just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you mentioned, my name is Haley Schiller, and I'm a social worker by degree. I always say jokingly that I knew I was going to get into this profession since childhood because I wanted to be just like Mr. Rogers. So it was something that was a deep passion of mine from an early age, promoting wellness, helping others, and just this sense of mental well-being and being in a good place.
Yeah.
And it's something that I dedicated myself to studying since high school onward to college, grad school, and so forth. It's something that's very near and dear to my heart. But I also like to say that I'm very familiar with stress from both sides of the couch. This is something that's become very important to me since actually teenage years, because when I was back in high school, not only was I facing like what we would call the quote unquote normal teenage stress of deciding what would I do after high school, applying to colleges, transitioning into being a young adult, but I also personally was dealing with a lot of grief and loss at the time. Mm-hmm. And I started to learn some very valuable lessons. One of them being that your professional and personal life, they're going to leak into each other. Yeah. So when personal things are going on, it's going to be hard to concentrate or feel motivated in your professional setting. And conversely, when things are difficult or stressful in the professional setting, it's hard to just come home and resume like everything is normal. So this concept of compartmentalization is really not the most feasible concept.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing that I learned from this time was that it's great having evidence-based strategies.
Yeah.
But sometimes we need to learn how to customize them to fit into our lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, a big thing that I was always told from an early age was to listen to calming music, such as classical music or jazz music. That wasn't working for me. What was working for me was blasting alt rock music and just singing along with it. So what I started to see is that you can take evidence-based strategies and tweak them a little bit to fit into your lifestyle in a way that makes sense.
Yes.
So I kind of took all of this together. Like I mentioned several times now, I am a social worker, but I also decided to take that entrepreneurial route so that way I could provide education on all the different wonderful resources out there, because we often hear the same couple ones come up very often, but there's ways to either customize what we hear often or a whole bunch of things out there that maybe we're not so familiar with, where based off of wherever we are. And I want to make that known to more people so that way they can decide what works well for them and what maybe they'd like to try.
Yeah, that's a absolutely, you know, great point. And I'll go back to that point later again, because this is so important point. But before that, I'm going actually, first of all, to acknowledge and appreciate your role, because as a nurse educator and nurse academic for so many years, we all the time discuss about the role of social worker in the community. And social workers, for the audience who might not be 100% familiar with this role, social workers actually have a very significant role in the multidisciplinary team, healthcare multidisciplinary team, because they are bridging actually a lot of things between the community and individuals. And the point that actually you brought, you know, stress as a very significant, you know, aspect of health in the field of, you know, social working is so great. So before we go into to that very important point that, you know, I mentioned that I'll talk later, can you just tell us, do you have any experiences, you know, during the time that you worked as a social worker? Have you experienced anything that, you know, stress impacted people's life socially and, you know, the family, you know, just massively, significantly? Do you have any example, or do you want to share anything?
Yeah, so what's interesting is the Reaching Equilibrium, my company, is a little bit separate from the social work aspect because that's more educational based and in providing information. So that's really empowering people through knowledge. But as far as what's got me there, being a social worker, absolutely. And without going into too much detail or breaking anybody's confidentiality, all I will say is I have experience being a crisis response counselor. Mm-hmm. So there's absolutely a lot of familiarity with stress and how it impacts people in all areas of their life. So it's something that I feel, based off of my work and having many discussions with many wonderful clients along the way, that I really have come to see that while not everybody might have the same diagnosis or live through the same life experiences, one thing that I could say is universal, hands down, among everybody is that they've experienced something that was perceived or experienced as stressful. And it doesn't really, it matters what that event is, because that's what impacts us. But when I say it doesn't matter, I mean that in a universal sense. It could be anything that can elicit stress in us, because it's that normal of an experience.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And how about, you know, the impact on the actual, you know, physical illnesses? Because, because, you know, we discuss, and I know that the social workers are very much involved with chronic illness management protocols. And sometimes, you know, we ignore in our healthcare system, it is happening in Australia, and I'm sure it's happening in US and, you know, around the world as well, that the healthcare system is addressing different aspects separately. So for example, you know, if people have a stress, okay, go to just get some, I don't know, go and see psychologist and then manage your stress. Go and see dietitian, nutritionist to manage your food. Go and see, and that separation, unfortunately, is a big gap in our healthcare system. While, you know, the stress can be closely involved with physical problems, and people people may just, you know, simply ignore it. You know, really serious chronic conditions, like even diabetes, like, you know, the cardiac, you know, cardiovascular problems definitely is the one. But even diabetes, even, you know, chronic gut issues, even, you know, cancer, they all are connected to stress. So, and people just, because they don't know, and the healthcare system is kind of, I guess, ignorance about this really significant aspect. So do you have anything, you know, to share about, more specifically, about the connection between stress and physical problems?
Yeah, so
one of the things, yeah,
absolutely. So one of the things that I often tell people as like a fun fact, or as something where I'll go, I bet you didn't know, and a lot of times people don't know, is that one of the leading specialists that mental health care providers work with are gastroenterologists, because that mind-gut connection is so impactful. So for any audience listening, if you've ever thought about a time you're really stressed or worked up, you might have noticed that your stomach felt really tense, or maybe it affected your appetite, something along those lines. There is such a mind-body connection. Another big one is our connection with actually neurology, because what we're starting to see more and more of is research on the vagus nerve and that whole polyvagal theory, which is so important, because for so many years, people with vasovagal syncope, which is a very real condition, were taken not so seriously. They were taken that this was a mental health condition, that they were getting so anxious, they'd start to feel faint. And now there's more research suggesting that no, there's real biology. It's not just made up in your head that these things happen. And like you mentioned, how many autoimmune disorders I can name right now, how many things like diabetes, cancer, all of these different conditions can be exacerbated with stress. Even people who are trying to become pregnant, what do they always say? Lower your stress, lower your workload, things like that. Because really that mind-body connection is so powerful that oftentimes we're either not taken as seriously or we don't give enough credit to it. But I can't stress enough how real it is.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Yes, very good points, because stress certainly can impact the whole biochemistry in our body. And hormones are so much related to, so we know, the impact of cortisol, on other, hormones and other, and the whole, biochemistry system in the body. And yes, I discussed actually a lot about the stress, about how stress can shut down the immune system. So it's simple as when the immune system is getting shut down, definitely we are exposed to many, many diseases, including infection, including the C word, including everything. Yeah. So yeah, that's actually, thanks, for pointing on some of those things. And for the audience, yes, please just take it really serious, because when we talk about the stress, it's not about, for example, when you are getting stressed when you have speech in public or something like that. That kind of a stress is different, because that's a kind of, short-term stress that is going, in 5-10 minutes. We talking about chronic stress and ongoing stress, or the stress that is happening and is on the top all the time. This kind of a stress is really dangerous and is a cause. Let's just get back to that point, that interesting point that you said, that and you actually mentioned in your bio that life is not one size fits all, which is absolutely correct in relation to stress management as well. So yes, we know that, we have some information, some knowledge in the textbook, in the evidence about stress management. And I would actually use a stress healing rather than a stress management. I'll let you know after why I use this word healing instead of management. But let's just talk about that differences that you mentioned, that is definitely depending on each individual. Why is that different? Why is that and what are the criteria, for example, for us as professionals to have a better understanding about these differences and to have a better understanding about what fits who?
Yeah, that's so great. So actually, this started to become more in the forefront of my thoughts because of me and my best friend. So she is completely trained in psychodynamics, psychoanalytics. She is a huge follower of Freud and subsequent theories. Me, on the other hand, I was trained in CBT. Dr. Beck was everything that I knew. So we were two sides of a similar coin, right? But while we might have used two different modalities in our early trainings, it wasn't that neither one of us was better at our job, right? Uh-huh. We were attracting different people and having different successes with different people. And it really made me stop, think, and reflect that, wow, it's not because necessarily one is better than another. It's that different people have different needs and they'll gravitate. And then that really broadened my horizon to beyond therapy, as in talk therapy, but also these self-help, self-healing strategies that we use in our own time, right? Some people meditate while others pray. Some people do gratitude journaling while others do free writing.
Yeah.
Some people like to watch movies and TV shows. Others like to listen to music. So there's different ways that we incorporate these strategies based off of our values, off of our lifestyles, and off of our needs. And so that made me start to realize, wow, people are really so unique. It's like the analogy of snowflakes, no two are alike, human beings, no two are alike. And that's really one truth that I can say with a lot of certainty. So I think it's very important that people really learn about the vast scope of resources out there, because when we hear similar things suggested, sometimes it can almost be a little discouraging if we've tried them and we're not gravitating towards one, or one works really well, but we'd like to have more tools in our toolkit and we think this is pretty much it. No, you can, how many different books are out there on the topic of wellness? How many different podcasts? How many different things can you go out and try?
And actually, yeah, sorry for interruption. And actually, the more resources you have, the more confusion.
Yes, and that's true too.
Yeah.
That's very true too. And that's also part of the reason why I wanted to start this, was because I feel like if people just sit down and explain, this is what it is, this is what it's supposed to do, and here's some pros, here's some cons, and you try to deliver it hopefully as neutral as possible, right? We're human, so nothing will be ever perfectly neutral, but with striving to be as neutral as possible, hopefully that'll give some insight into saying, oh, this clicks with me, or I'm not ready to go there yet.
Yeah, thank you. So I just picked, you know, one section that you mentioned, values, because I definitely believe that that is a very important part of initial assessment when we're going to choose what, you know, what fits who and what situation. We definitely need to be aware of our values and beliefs. So how, you know, would you include values, you know, in your assessment, or how would you teach people to understand their values that can contribute to other, you know, aspects of healing and management of stress?
Yeah, so what I say is to look at the different intersectionalities of what makes you you. And that can go well beyond the scope of our gender, race, sexual orientation. It can go into these little nuances of what makes us us. It can be things like people who are very proud of being, I don't know, vegetarian. It could be them being very proud sports player. It could be them being an avid video game enthusiast. But these things we're very proud of and part of our unique individual culture of what makes me me, really lean into that, right? And find what are those things that feel really important to us. So for example, that vegetarian might be a very big animal advocate and lean into animal therapy, volunteer work, right? Things that reflect that value. It could be, you know, educating others on what's important to them. It could be really finding ways, instead of making money off of a passion, really leaning into that passion as a form of self-care instead. So there's a whole lot of ways to go about it, but really look at, who am I? What are the things I value? What makes me uniquely me?
That is very important. I actually love the last part. Who am I and what makes me me? That is so important. I think, you know, yes, we need to encourage people to have a better understanding about self. I'm all actually into inner self and true self. And people are asking me sometimes, what do you mean? What the heck you mean about true self or inner self? And just that it's simply you, because a lot of times we forget about who we truly are, because we are all trapped into our social self, because we're going actually to be validated by the community, by the society, by the world, by other people. And if that validation is going to be our highest priority, then we may lose our inner values to be ourselves. Yeah. So do you ask people just to list their values, you know, or prioritize, you know, their values, which is, you know, located in the higher, or because we know that people have values in different areas, you know, in health and wellness, in a spiritual, you know, relationship. In all, you know, we have different theories, six areas, seven areas of values, but we do know that people have values in different areas. Would you work on those different areas or ask them just to prioritize their values in different areas?
Yeah, so there is actually a really great exercise, and to give credit where credit is due, it is found in DBT, which stands for dialectical behavior therapy, which really it lists out different areas of life. So it could be self-care, it could be work, it could be spirituality, hobbies, etc. And then you're supposed to scale them from 0 to 10. 0 is it's not relative, like it's not a part of my life. So parenting is a good example. Not everyone's a parent, so they put that as a 0. But if it does apply to you in some capacity, you rate it from 1 to 10. 1, not so important. 10, extremely important.
Yeah.
And sometimes people will look at this list and they're like, oh my gosh, I should be rating everything at 10, right? But the truth is there's no right or wrong answer. So you shouldn't feel guilty if, you know, work is a little low on the list or socializing in this season of your life is a little low on the list. That's okay. It's just about being honest with yourself. Where are those higher numbers at? So usually I encourage people to do something similar along those lines of really just saying, in this season of my life, what's important, what's taking priority to me. Mm-hmm. And don't feel guilty about whatever you put. Yeah. There's no answer that's selfish. There's no answer that's wrong. Mm-hmm. It really is what makes sense in your life right now. And once you can kind of start to parse that out or discern it, then you can start to say, okay, here's some of my values. How am I feeling about it? Okay, this is how I feel. Now, what do I need? And once you ask, what do I need in these areas, that sheds to light what are some things I should be focusing and honing in on. I usually tell people, if you are so used to hearing to compartmentalize, take the term compartmentalization, just throw it out the window. I know it's really hard for some people. So if that's you, don't feel bad, but just try your best, throw it out the window. And instead, we're going to replace it with the term integration. Uh-huh. Because what it really is life shouldn't be such jagged edges. Yeah. We need to be smoothing. So it's okay that some things in your life will leak from one area to another. That's normal. It's human. And what we're really just trying to do is manage stress overall, just universally. And then by taking care of stress as stress, not just here's my work stress, here's my personal stress, here's my parenting stress, but we're just handling stress, you'll find that it's a lot more effective and your stress in general is just starting to lower.
So I actually like, I'm not working myself with this decompartmentalizing, but I agree. It's actually really helpful to get perhaps the pieces first, well known for the person, and then get them back together again. And once they know that. So you talked about DBT and CBT. Can you just explain a little bit briefly for the audience what's the difference between differences between CBT and DBT?
So just as a quick disclaimer, they are therapeutic modalities. So if you're interested in them, please consult with a licensed professional. But really what makes the difference is CBT stands for cognitive behavior therapy. It was founded by Dr. Aaron Beck, who, fun fact, lived till almost 100. He only passed away very recently. And what he focused on was the connection between our thoughts, our feelings, and our actions. And at the root of it, of those three, the one that he focused in on the most is the thoughts, because what the belief is let's say a person is afraid of clowns and they see a clown. It's not exactly that the clown being there is what's making you feel so nervous, right? Because not everybody necessarily gets nervous at clowns, although I personally do, but I digress. It's because also we're thinking, I'm not safe around this clown. And it's the thought, I'm not safe right now. That's what's making us feel anxious.
Yeah.
Now, what DBT is it's based off of CBT. And again, DBT stands for dialectical behavior therapy. And DBT was founded actually originally for people with borderline personality disorder. Mm-hmm. And it's based in four key tenets, which is emotional regulation, distress tolerance, interpersonal communication, and being, it's along the lines of just being present and mindful. And the thing about those different key components is, if you really think about them, probably in the audience, you're probably thinking, I can relate to that. So my key point being, you don't need to have borderline personality disorder to reap the many rewards that come with DBT. There's so much we can learn from emotional regulation as people, or how we could better communicate with others. So it's something that also can be very effective. And, you know, if anybody's curious and they're thinking they want to learn more, by all means do so. And if you want to see if it's a good fit for you, definitely consult with somebody who knows your personal history, so that way they can make that final determination on that, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. So that is actually possibly another story, and maybe we can discuss in another podcast about, you know, the different names or, you know, tags we put on, I don't know, personalities. That's another thing. But, you know, for the audience, when we say, for example, you know, it's being used for borderline personality, exactly, that doesn't mean that it's perhaps the first time used for, it's just the steps information. That's it. Just take it as a statistical information at this stage, or just a historical information. And yeah, I really like that part of DBT, which is involved with emotion, because CBT is more about cognition. But yeah, so that's why, you know, I'm a fan of combining all of these modalities, CBT, DBT, and NLP, that, you know, neuro-linguistic programming that I'm just training, with, you know, definitely emotions and the heart, because that's a big gap that we experience, you know, in a lot of our psychological modalities, and also, you know, chronic illness management, the emotion part, which is so important. Yeah. So yes, I think, you know, we can actually discuss about a lot of things now, but I'm going to get you talk a little bit about burnout as well, and how, you know, you adjust or you use your modalities for people who are experiencing burnout.
Yeah, so the way I like to explain burnout is really stress on overload, right? Because the way some people also explain burnout is being overwhelmed on overload. And being overwhelmed is the byproduct of being really stressed out. Yeah, so it's all connected. Absolutely. They're all best friends with each other. Yeah. So we need to manage our stress and keep it at a low level. Mm-hmm. And I don't say completely gone, because, and we can get into a whole sidetrack conversation why some low levels of stress is actually good for you, but that's a whole side conversation. But we want to keep our stress levels at a good, low, reasonable pace, because when we start to get too much of that stress, too much of that tension, what ends up happening is we get overwhelmed, overloaded, and we start to shut down and we face burnout. And to kind of bring this conversation completely full circle, you'll probably start to notice you're getting burnt out because of physical symptoms, right? You might be more tired, you might lose more your concentration, you might feel lower motivation. It's like, for those listening, if you remember back in your school days, if you've ever gotten sick right after finals or right after a big exam, that's burnout. You're probably going very hard, very fast to get ready and do well. And then boom, it happens and you don't feel well after. Same thing like with work, if you have a big project coming up, similar. So when we do feel burnt out, then what happens? We need to take time. We need to rest, recover, and start to feel better again. And while there's nothing wrong with that, because when we get sick, we should be resting and recovering. If it's because of a reason that we can help avoid, we should. So it's important to manage that stress and be proactive ahead of time, so that way we don't feel those repercussions. Think of it like a car. We don't want to put that extra rough terrain and need a new tire sooner. We want to manage it, and we want to avoid those potholes and the broken glass in the road, so that way we can keep things going as strong as possible for as long as possible.
Yeah. Good example, good analogy. So for people who are, you know, experiencing burnout, so perhaps, you know, I experienced myself too, because I think, you know, it's more about the type of personality, maybe type A personality, go, just, you know, get success here. And yeah, so for people who perhaps, you know, are a little bit like me, I used to be like that, I'm just, you know, balancing now. Yes, you need just to slow down. Just to slow down and you give yourself that burnout and all, you know, the signs that you see from your body. Basically, they are going to give you a message. Give you a message that, okay, you need to rest. You need to slow down and you need just to go a little bit more slowly towards your goals or whatever it is, just to reset your body and mind. And yeah. Okay, so thank you so much, Hayley. You know, we can talk about a lot of things, but just let us know and let our audience know where people can find you.
Yeah, absolutely. So my website is reachingequilibrium.com. You can find me on LinkedIn at Hayley Schiller. For those of you who don't know, it's spelled H-A-Y-L-E-Y, last name S-C-H-I-L-L-E-R. And my Instagram is at reaching_equilibrium_. And I'm about to start a new YouTube channel, which hopefully will appear by the time this airs or shortly thereafter. It's coming very, very soon as of the time of this recording. And the link to that can be found through a link in bio on Instagram, because unfortunately, new accounts don't get their own unique URLs.
Yes. Are you offering one-on-one programs or, you know, group programs or...
So that's a great question. And the answer is actually everything is self-paced. And the reason for that is actually very intentional. As a social worker, you know, I like to make it very clear that what I'm providing is not therapy. It is purely educational and informational. Yeah. And part of that to discern it is I remove myself from the equation of giving that one-on-one advice. So it's not accidentally mistaken or interpreted as therapy. So everything you can find is through social media, or we're going to have a lot more information and content that you can look through on your own time. But I think the benefit of that as well is that you can really sit through it, absorb it, and go at a pace that feels comfortable for you along the way.
Yeah, excellent, excellent. So yeah, I'll put for the audience, I'll put all, you know, the links on the show notes just to communicate with Hayley, because, you know, I really appreciate what you do, Hayley, as a social worker, because I'm so much into evidence-based practice. I am, you know, so much connected with all people in the healthcare multidisciplinary team. And I think, you know, the world needs more, more professionals, you know, more people who are definitely skilled, and they are more, you know, involved with that conventional, you know, education in the university, and then turned those all education to be more integrated and holistic. And that's actually what we need in the world. And I really appreciate what you do. And as a tradition, we're going actually to ask you, what is your final message? Just one message in one or two sentences that you can you can share with the audience.
Always ask yourself, how am I feeling and what do I need?
Always ask yourself, how do you need and how you feel? Feeling, oh, super important. Thank you. That was a great one, Hayley.
Thank you
very much again. So we may actually just, you know, catch up later in social media, have a little bit of discussion or chat together, perhaps just, you know, jumping on some live together. And yes, because I definitely love to connect more with professional people in the area.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. This has been truly an honor. I've loved being here. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Hayley. Catch you later.
Thank you for listening to the podcast From Outer Wellness to Inner Wellness. I hope you enjoyed, and I hope that brought you some points and benefits for your inner wellness. And I appreciate any comments, feedback, reviews, and your subscription. Thank you.